All right, good morning. It is good to be together, as always. And this morning, I want to invite us to kind of connect here a little bit. And so if you're able to stand and do all that and greet one another, that's fantastic. And let's say to one another this morning, God does not need your perfection. He wants your connection. Well, today we are again, and I believe next week, and then we'll be coming down off the mountain. But for today, we are still up on the mountain. Jesus, his disciples, his Talmudim gathered around, and Jesus is sharing what are considered to be his most significant teachings, what we all know is collectively called the Sermon on the Mount, and what I've said a number of times is his invitation, right, inviting us to this whole other way of doing life and relationships. Today we come to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. If you're grabbing a Pew Bible, 686, the words will be on that screen behind me. Thank you, Andy, for that. 7 and 21, and so let's do what we do, and I'll read the text, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get to it. Matthew 7, 21, it says, we read, Jesus teaches, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you doers of harm. And with that, let's pray. God, we thank you for these words here this morning, for your word to us. And as we work our way through this morning, I pray that they would not just sit on the page or on the screen, but that they would enter into our hearts, our minds, our hands, our feet, that they would form us and shape us. So we ask for your grace and giving us ears to hear and eyes that see and hearts that are open. As always, I ask that you would be in and under and over all through my words, that I would speak your heart today. We commit this morning together into your glory, your name, your presence. Amen. So this morning we come to what is one of the more, I think, one of the more sobering moments in the whole of the Sermon on the Mount. This passage can maybe feel even a bit too personal. Jesus, he says, not everyone, right? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And so apparently, saying the words or putting that sticker, that Jesus sticker on your car, or wearing the t-shirt, that just doesn't seem to cut it here. Not everyone, Jesus says, not everyone, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And then he goes on. In fact, he says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Translation, many will say to me on that day, like, seriously, Jesus, did you not notice? I mean, we had all the swag, right? We had all the swag, but we were out there doing some pretty amazing stuff. So I don't know if you weren't paying attention or what, but like, we are kind of awesome, right? And notice his response here. From verse, not in your Bible. Yeah, you guys, you're right. My bad. Right, but no, Jesus doesn't say that, does he? It says here, verse 23, then I will tell them plainly. I will tell them plainly comes from homologeo in the Greek. It means to declare openly or to to say, to speak out loud. And so it's this idea here that it's for everyone. Right? It's a word that's spoken out loud. So it's not just for them there and then, it's also for us here and now. Then I will tell them plainly, I never. And note here, Jesus, this is not harsh Jesus. This is Jesus heartbroken. And he says, I never knew you. I never knew you. Away from me, you doers of harm. And with that, we can think back again to last week. Jesus, remember that idea of being rooted in the soil of God's heart. And here Jesus, it's like he doubles down on that. And then he wraps it up in one word, right? I never, and here's the word, right? I never knew you. In other words, sure, you did stuff. And yes, that matters, right? In fact, Jesus speaks of doing even in this passage here, right? Doing is important. And yet, and we'll talk more about that for next week. And yet here today, it's not the doing, it's the disconnect. We could say it's the deeds without the devotion. And we can think back to last week, it's the action without the abiding. I never, Jesus says, I never knew you. You can almost feel his heart breaking. Noting in Greek, it reads gnosko, which is not, it's not knowing about someone. Gnosko, it is to be in relationship with. And maybe you've had that experience. Maybe you have a glimpse of this where maybe it's a family member or a friend or someone that you've known, someone that you care about. And somewhere along the way, there's this realization that the conversation has always kind of just stayed on the surface. It really hasn't gone very, very deep. It's just kind of stayed on the surface, right? And so you realize, well, I know about, but I really don't gnosko. And now it's some time later and there's that sorrow, and there's that pain, and there's that ache, right? I never knew, you know, wishing it had been different. I never knew you. Gnosko, it's not informational, it's relational. Think connection, think intimacy, think sharing life together. Gnosko. It's also an echo of the Hebrew yada. Might sound familiar to some of you. It first shows up in Genesis 4 and 1. And a note on that is there is a what's called the principle, or more commonly called the law of first mention. It actually came much later in, I think it was maybe the 20th or 19th century when that kind of was coined. And yet its roots actually flow all the way back to early ancient Judaic rabbinic study. And the law of first mention basically says you go to a word, take a word like yada, and find where it's first mentioned in the Bible, and as you kind of parse it out and interpret it, it's understanding in that first mention. Then subsequently, the way it plays out then, and it gets interpreted in the mentions down the line. And so the first mention, the law of first mention, says this is kind of important. And here, and it's interesting, in 4 and 1, it says in Hebrew, Veha Adam, and then we get Yada, Veha Adam Yada, and so there's our Yada. Veha Adam Yada et ha Vayishtu, which depending on your translation says something like the man knew Eve, his wife, or the man had sexual relations with, or made love to. And so yada, meaning to know, it means to know. Here, it's contextually here, it speaks of including sexual activity. And yet if we go deeper underneath that piece of it, it is, again, it's all about connection and intimacy. It's a knowing that engages vulnerability and openness and trust and presence. And it's that understanding then that really flows all throughout the Torah, the Nevi'im, the prophets, and the Psalms. It is the story of Yada, to know and to be known. What I would suggest is the hunger of every heart. The longing for each one of us is to know and to be known. It is the deep end of what it means to be human. It is the story of Yada, to know and to be known. Exodus, the second book of the Torah, 3:10. God here is speaking to Moses. "So now go," he says. "I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." What is the dominant theme, that overarching narrative that flows all the way through? Right? It's the escape, the exit, the exodus out of Egypt. And with it, there's that epic showdown between God and Pharaoh. And with that, there's all the plagues. And with that, there are over 20 times it speaks of the hardness of Pharaoh's heart, how he refused to listen, how he closed himself off. And that is not just about stubbornness. It is about knowing. It is about knowing, or more to the point here, refusing to know. And in Exodus 5:2, then, Pharaoh said to Moses and Aaron, Pharaoh said, "Who is Yahweh that I should listen and let Israel go? I do not yada. I do not yada Yahweh, and I will not let Israel go." Right? He is guarded. He is closed off. He is unwilling to be vulnerable. And yet, over and over again, God is opening himself with every plague. God is opening himself so that, Exodus 10:2, so that you may tell your children and grandchildren, vidatem, which is yada, vidatem, it's in there, and that you may know, yada, right, ki ani Yahweh, that I am Yahweh. All of it God says, so that you may know and be known. It is the story of Yada. And that story then continues with the Nevi'im, with the prophets, reaching out to the prophet Jeremiah. This is centuries later. The people are talking a really good talk, and yet we learn that their hearts are becoming more and more distant. And so Jeremiah, he stands up, it says he cries out to them from 9:23. This is what Yahweh says. "Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. Let the one who boasts boast about this, that they," it says, "have the understanding to yada," that they have a willingness to be vulnerable, an openness to others, sharing life together, connection, intimacy, trust, presence. Right, to know me, that I am Yahweh, and it says, "who lives the way of kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight." It is the story of Yada, to know and to be known. That story then continues now to the Psalms. This one from Psalm 91:14. "Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him, I will protect him, for," and we read this in the responsive reading, "for he acknowledges my name." That word love here is from hashak in Hebrew, and it means to be attached or pressed together or bound together. It is this idea of oneness. Again, it's connection and it's intimacy and it's trust and it's presence. And then notice he says, "because he loves me," says Yahweh, "I will rescue him," which is interesting, just that in its all the language that's out of Exodus that we just read, right? I will redeem you, I will free you, I will rescue you. For, and here is the reason, it says, he acknowledges my name. Acknowledges here is actually Yada. He acknowledges my name. Right, Yada, again, connection, intimacy, sharing life together. Yada Shemi knows my name, meaning literally the expression of who I am. We could say the fullness of who I am. To be known, right? To know and to be known fully. The expression, fully as I am. It's the story of Yada. To know and to be known. What is, again, at the deep end of what it means to be human. And it's that story now flowing in and through the life and the teachings of Jesus here in Matthew, but not only here in Matthew, to John chapter 17 for a moment, and dropping down to verse 3. Jesus is praying. This is on the night before he's crucified. And he prays, 17 and 3, now this is eternal life, that they, pause here, the they here is not just them, there and then, it's also us here and now, and that becomes very explicit in verse 20. You can read that one later, but Jesus makes it clear that it's not just for those that are in front of him that day, but it's for all those that hear, all those that receive the message. Now this is eternal life, that they, and what is eternal life? It's that they gnosko. It's that they yada. This is eternal life, that they gnosko, they yada. They know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life, he says, is not a destination. It is the story of yada. To know and to be known. And it's not something that happens someday when you die. It is right here and it is right now. It's the very thing that Pharaoh resisted, the Israelites forgot, prophets longed for, and Jesus makes possible. It is the story of Yada. And so the question for us today, I think, is not how much we've done, but how deep are we living? And so one more, back to the Psalms, just for a moment, and we'll close with this, and then have a few minutes for sitting in the stillness. One more kind of word, or one more echo here. Psalm 46 and 10, we read, be still and know that I am God. Be still here is from Rapha. It means to let go, to release, to loosen your grip, can be translated to relax, that idea of surrender. For reference, this psalm actually was written during the time of, in the days of Hezekiah. Jerusalem was under attack. They are surrounded and outnumbered. The people are anxious and feeling overwhelmed and desperate, and yet it's in that very moment that God speaks, right? Whatever it is that we are facing, right? Rapha. Let go, release, surrender. And he says, Yada. And Yada, connection and intimacy, trust and presence, sharing life together. Be still and know that I am God. And so with that in mind this morning, let's take a few moments and a few questions for us to maybe reflect on. And first off, maybe how or in what ways have I settled for knowing about God instead of being with? Maybe in what ways have I settled for knowing about God instead of being with? Along that line, we could ask, what keeps me from opening myself fully to that kind of relationship? what keeps me from opening myself more fully. Sometimes fear, sometimes it's shame. Protect ourselves. And so what might it look like to share life together with God? Right, not only here on a Sunday morning, but in the ordinary stuff of life. What would it look like today to share life together with God? Where in my life might God be inviting me to Rafah? Where in my life might God be inviting me to let go, to release, to relax, loosen my grip? In what part of my life is God whispering, release, let go, and trust? In other words, what would it look like to simply rest in His presence? And then that idea, right, of eternal life. Eternal life, Jesus says, it's not a destination. Right? It's the story of Yada. And so we can ask ourselves, if eternal life begins now, how might that shift the way I live today? Right? It doesn't start when we die. It's here and now. We are in it. Connection, intimacy, trust, presence, sharing life together. Jesus says that is eternal life. And it's right here, right now, in our midst. If eternal life begins now, then how might that shift the way I live today? Gnosko, yada, to know, and to be known. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter.